Have you ever felt that intense, almost suffocating pressure, especially if you're, in college or just starting out, to instantly know what you're going to do with your life after graduation? It feels like this singular, monumental decision, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
And it's often presented as this one-and-done choice that determines everything, which can be incredibly overwhelming
Right.
and, frankly, pretty misleading.
Misleading is the perfect word. That's exactly why we're taking a deep dive today. We're going beyond those surface level things and really digging into what it means to navigate your professional path. Our mission here is to unpack the crucial difference between just having a job and building a fulfilling career. We'll expose some surprisingly common career myths that might be holding you back, explore how self-awareness is, like your superpower in this whole process, and highlight the incredible resources right there on your college campus that can help you forge your unique path.
And this isn't just about getting a job, which is often the immediate worry.
Right, the bills.
Exactly. This deep dive is more about understanding your unique professional journey, seeing how it evolves, and empowering you to, well, proactively shape it rather than just feeling swept along.
Okay, so shaping your path. It seems like the very first step is untangling two words we throw around a lot, often interchangeably, job and career. Most of us have a basic idea of what a job is. Like, we typically think of it as work you do in exchange for money. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's often a single transactional thing, right? You do the task, you get paid. Simple.
Simple.
But when we look at a career, the definition really expands quite a bit. It's often defined as a profession for which one trains and which is undertaken as a permanent calling.
Permanent calling. That sounds intense.
It does. But permanent here doesn't really mean for the rest of your life. I mean, very few careers are truly lifelong anymore. It implies something more long-term and progressive.
Progressive. How so?
Think of it like a field where you see consecutive achievement, where one experience builds on the next. It's less of a quick pit stop and more of an evolving path, a trajectory.
A trajectory, not just a pit stop. I like that. That really shifts the mindset, doesn't it?
It does.
And we heard some interesting student takes on this from the materials we looked at. One student felt a career was long term, you do it until you can't anymore.
Okay, maybe a bit extreme.
Yeah, maybe. Another hoped for something you love, a dream job. But one perspective really stood out to me. When you are more invested in the activities of the job than just getting a paycheck, that one hints at something deeper, right?
It absolutely does, that deeper engagement. And to make this difference even clearer, let's look at Shira's story. It's a great real-world example from our sources. She started with what seemed like a totally standard summer job
Okay.
at a local ice cream stand. Just, trying to make some money over the summer.
Right, an ice cream scooper seems pretty basic.
Totally.
Yeah.
But then she found herself actually learning quite a bit about customer service, developing teamwork skills with her colleagues. And eventually, she even stepped into some supervisory roles like making schedules, interviewing new hires. Little things, but they added up.
Okay, so more than just scooping.
Exactly. And this is where the career aspect starts to subtly unfold, often without you even realizing it at first. Shira found she genuinely enjoyed the parts involving helping people do well at work.
Interesting.
Then, as she started taking psychology and business classes in college, she began connecting the dots, seeing how, like, organizational psychology and management ideas applied directly to what she did at the ice cream stand.
Okay.
This growing interest in how workplaces, well, work led her to explore human resources.
So a summer job scooping ice cream plus some academic curiosity leads to an HR internship at a bank, even before she graduated. That's quite a leap from vanilla versus chocolate, isn't it?
It is. And her journey didn't stop there. After getting her degree in psychology, she landed her first real career-focused job as a recruiting specialist.
Nice.
Within 2 years, promotion to HR generalist. And now she's even pursuing professional certifications to keep growing. Shira's path really shows that a career isn't always some neat straight line plan from day one.
Yeah, definitely not linear.
And her key takeaway, as she put it, was that she learned a lot about herself early in her college career. She got some experience and studied academic subjects she was interested in.
Okay.
Shira was nervous and uncertain at times, but she remained positive and adjusted her course as needed. And that adaptability, that's maybe the most crucial part.
Adjusting as needed. That's a perfect lead-in to our next bit, because students get, like, a mountain of career advice, right?
Constantly, from everyone.
And sometimes that advice is based on these persistent myths that can actually make it harder to adjust and adapt. So let's maybe unpack a couple of common career myths.
Good idea. These myths often create so much unnecessary pressure. They can really limit your perspective on what's possible or even what's, you know, healthy in your professional life.
Exactly. Okay, let's tackle myth number two. There is one perfect job for me. Or maybe the flip side, I will be happy if I find the right career. This one feels huge, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
Like there's this one soulmate job out there.
Yeah.
And if you don't find it, you've failed somehow.
Totally. So yeah. What's the reality?
Well, the reality, thankfully, offers a lot more freedom. Finding the right career isn't like waving a magic wand and getting this perfect life instantly.
Right.
There isn't just one perfect job waiting for you.
Right.
Instead, the truth is, there are probably many jobs and careers where you could be really well suited based on, you know, a combination of your unique qualities, your skills, your interests.
Okay.
The better you understand yourself, and we'll talk more about that, the better you can make a good match. But crucially, that match isn't static. You change over time. Mm-hmm. Your interests, your priorities, they shift.
That makes sense.
So developing strong career planning skills means you can adapt and find new, fulfilling matches as you evolve. It takes the pressure off finding the one and opens up a whole world of the many possibilities.
That's a huge relief, I think, for a lot of people listening. Takes off that immense pressure.
Definitely.
And speaking of pressure, myth number seven really hits home for many. I should be passionate about my work. If not, I am doing something wrong. We all hear that saying, right? Do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Sounds amazing.
It sounds amazing, but one of our sources actually calls it terrible advice.
Terrible advice. Wow. Okay, why?
Because the reality is no one loves their work every single minute of every single day. That's just not realistic. And passion is an incredibly high bar to meet consistently.
Yeah, I guess so.
Think about it. Many things we're truly passionate about, like, I don't know, a complex hobby or some niche interest might make for completely unsuitable jobs. They just don't line up with practical needs or what the market demands.
Good point.
What most people who are genuinely satisfied with their work seem to have in common is, well, they can do the work well, they feel it has some kind of positive impact, maybe on people or the world, and they find meaning in it.
Meaning, okay.
And often, the passion for the work can actually follow from that meaning and that satisfaction rather than being the thing you have to find first.
So meaning and satisfaction can lead to passion, not necessarily the other way around.
Exactly. It flips the script a bit.
Okay. So if you really internalize these realities that there isn't just one perfect job and that satisfaction and meaning can breed passion, how does that practically change how you should approach long-term career planning?
Oh, it changes it profoundly. First off, it opens up a whole range of possibilities you might have otherwise just dismissed out of hand because they didn't scream passion or perfect fit immediately.
Right.
It frees you from that crushing pressure to live up to some external ideal, you know. And it encourages a much more flexible, adaptable mindset. You stop searching for this mythical unicorn. And you start actively building a fulfilling journey, step by step, experience by experience.
Building a fulfilling journey? That brings us perfectly to the next piece. The power of self-awareness in all this. It's often called the foundational first step in the career planning cycle. Learn about yourself.
Absolutely foundational.
And college seems like the ideal time to really dedicate some energy to this, right? To gain that self-knowledge specifically for career purposes.
It's the perfect incubator for it. To plan your career effectively, and maybe even more importantly, to communicate your unique strengths to potential employers, you really need to understand yourself deeply.
So how do you do that? What should you be looking at?
Well, we found it helps to think about four key pillars of self-knowledge for career stuff. These kind of form your personal toolkit, sometimes called your KSAs, knowledge, skills, and abilities.
Okay, pillars. What's the first one?
First up, your interests.
Right.
Pretty simple. What do you genuinely like? What sparks your curiosity? What do you want to know more about? Could be ideas, information, specific topics.
Got it. Interests. Pillar number two.
Skills and aptitudes. These are the things you either do well already or you can do well. Could be natural talents, could be learned abilities. And it covers both hard skills like coding or accounting.
Right. Specific tasks.
And the crucial soft skills like communication, teamwork, problem solving. Things you use everywhere.
Okay. Interests, skills. What's next?
Pillar three, values. These are the things you deeply believe in, the fundamental principles or conditions that are most important to you in your work and life. Things like autonomy, helping others, financial security, creativity. What really matters to you?
Values. Super important. And the last pillar.
Finally, personality. This covers your distinctive qualities, your typical ways of thinking, feeling, and behaving. How you interact with the world. Are you more introverted or extroverted? How do you handle pressure? What's your preferred working style?
Interests, skills, values, personality. So when you put all this together, that's your personal toolkit, your KSAs that employers are looking at.
Exactly. That's what you bring to the table.
Yeah.
But the real power comes when you understand how your specific combination works together.
Can you give an example? How does knowing this stuff translate into actual career choices?
Sure. Let's say, you know, you really value helping people. That's a core principle for you. Okay. And maybe you also realize you're genuinely interested in math or finance.
Okay.
You might start exploring being an accountant.
Yeah.
But to really combine those, you then focus on gaining deep knowledge about financial systems and personal financial habits. Why? So you can provide better support and genuinely help your clients more effectively. See how it links.
Yeah, the value drives how you apply the interest and skills.
Precisely. Or maybe you value creativity, you have strong communication skills, but you're really interested in technology. You might find a great fit in something like user experience UX design, where you're creating intuitive digital products, that's the tech interest, and creative value while collaborating with a team using those communication skills.
That makes so much sense. Understanding your unique mix helps you find jobs where you won't just like do okay, but where you'll actually feel satisfied. It's not just what you can do, but what aligns with who you are.
Exactly. That's the sweet spot.
All right. So speaking of finding that alignment, once you've done some of the self-discovery work, how does your college actually help you on this journey? Because this is where it gets really practical, right? Your campus is actually packed with resources.
It truly is. Often more than students realize. First stop, absolutely essential.
Oh.
The Career Center.
Okay.
They have trained advisors, counselors, coaches, people whose whole job is helping you with career development. They offer formal assessments, things like the Strong Interest Inventory, Myers-Briggs.
I've heard of those.
Yeah, they're powerful tools. They give you objective insights into your interests, your personality type, and help connect that inner stuff to potential career paths. Plus, they help with the practical things, resumes, interview practice, finding job and internship postings. It's a gold mine.
Gold mine. Okay, Career Center. What else?
An often overlooked, but incredibly powerful resource. Your college's alumni association.
Really? Alumni?
Absolutely. Alumni are often super eager to help current students. They can offer invaluable professional insights, career connections. They remember being in your shoes. They often show up at campus events, maybe do mentorship programs. It's basically a built-in network just waiting for you to tap into it.
That's a great tip. A built-in network. Okay, who else?
And don't forget your faculty and even graduate students, your professors. They often have significant real-world industry experience themselves.
Oh, yeah?
Definitely. A computer science prof might have worked for years at a big tech company. An accounting prof might still do tax work on the side. Adjunct instructors. They often have entirely separate, full-time careers. They bring a ton of real-world knowledge and connections.
Wow, okay.
And grad students, too. They're closer to your experience, just navigated similar paths, and often have fresh insights and networks. Talk to them, ask questions, seek advice, maybe even find a mentor.
So many people ready to help. Career Center, alumni, faculty, grad students. Okay. So you learn about yourself. You explore options using these resources. What's the next step?
The next logical step is to actually try things out.
Yeah.
Get some hands-on experience. We call this experiential learning.
It's experiential learning. Okay. So not just thinking about it, but doing it.
Exactly. And this isn't just about waiting for that perfect job after graduation. It's about gaining real-world experience while you're still in college.
How can you do that?
Well, one great way is through community involvement, volunteering, and clubs. These activities are fantastic for personal growth, sure, but also for gaining real skills.
Like leadership.
Absolutely. If you take on a role in a campus club, say treasurer, president, even handling their social media, you're developing sought-after leadership skills, organizational skills, communication, maybe even financial management.
Right. Makes sense.
And volunteering, as we touched on, can be a brilliant, low-pressure way to just dip your toe into a profession. get a feel for it, see if you actually enjoy the environment before you commit to something bigger like an internship.
Like a trial run for your career curiosity. I like that.
Exactly. And of course, there are internships.
The big one.
Yeah. And we consistently hear from employers that they value experience just as much as, sometimes even more than, education alone.
Wow. Okay.
Internships let you apply what you've learned in class and see how things really work in the real world. And here's the key thing. Even if an internship isn't directly in your dream field, the main focus should be on gaining highly valued transferable skills.
Ah, transferable skill. Okay, define those for us. These are skills that like travel with you.
Exactly. They're abilities and knowledge useful across a whole bunch of different industries, job types, roles. They transfer seamlessly from one experience to the next.
Okay, so what are some key transferable skills employers are really looking for, and how do internships help build them?
Well, employers consistently rank things like critical thinking and problem solving super high. Also, teamwork and collaboration, professionalism and work ethic, and strong oral and written communication.
The basics, but crucial.
Absolutely crucial. And the good news is, internships are fantastic for improving all of these. Think about communication.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a decent writer for essays.
Yeah.
But an internship might teach you how to write a concise professional email or give a presentation to managers or follow specific industry formats. Those are skills you'll use everywhere.
Right. Practical application.
Or say, an internship in marketing might not lead you to become a graphic designer, but it will absolutely sharpen your project management skills, your client communication, your ability to work effectively on a team. All transferable.
And it's not just formal internships either, right? You mentioned earlier, even summer jobs can help.
Totally. You can develop these skills in lots of places, like we saw in the source material. If you work retail, be proactive. Ask if you can help with inventory or balancing the register boom, quantitative skills. If you're waiting tables, offer to help plan a party or manage reservations. There's organizational skills, customer service skills. Taking that kind of initiative shows drive and broadens your personal toolkit for later.
That initiative piece seems key. Don't just do the job. Look for ways to learn more within it.
Exactly. And then this is really important. After you have these experiences, whether it's an internship, volunteering, a part-time job, take time to reflect on them.
Reflect. How?
Or maybe keep a journal or even just a running list on your phone. Note down what you did, what challenges you faced, what you learned, what skills you used. This helps you actually articulate those experiences later.
Ah, so you can talk about them in interviews.
Precisely. It helps you answer those questions about your strengths, your weaknesses, times you solved the problem. You'll have concrete, real-world examples ready to go. It's about translating what you did into the value you offer.
Translate experience into value.
Got it. Okay, so this has been incredibly helpful. What does this all mean then for you, the listener? We've talked about jobs versus careers, busted some myths, talked about self-awareness, college resources, trying things out.
Well, at the highest level, you could say this entire journey is ultimately about finding your purpose. Mm. Have you heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs? That pyramid.
Yeah, the pyramid. Basic needs at the bottom, self-actualization at the top.
Exactly. We can kind of adapt that idea for careers. Mm. A job often fulfills your basic needs, pays the bills, gives you some security. That's the foundation.
Okay.
A career builds on that. It's usually more consistent. You invest more. You build relationships, gain a sense of belonging, maybe community. That's like the middle levels.
Right. Security, belonging.
But the highest level, the peak of the pyramid, the thing that allows you to feel truly fulfilled, that's your purpose. That's the deeper why behind what you do.
Purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds big. It is big.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where it gets maybe a little surprising. You might find that no single job or even single career is going to fulfill all aspects of your purpose.
Really?
Yeah. For some people, maybe their number one goal, their ideal, is being a great parent. Their job might simply be the financial engine that helps make that possible. That's okay.
Yeah.
Or maybe someone's purpose is grand, like eradicating poverty. That might involve a combination, maybe a day job, plus serious volunteer work, maybe serving on a nonprofit board. It's not just one thing.
So purpose isn't always tied directly to your 9-to-5.
Not always. But here's another twist. You can often fulfill important aspects of your purpose within your career, even if it's not through the obvious front door pathway everyone expects.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. Can you give an example of that?
Sure. Let's say your deepest purpose, your real why, is to help reduce racial and socioeconomic disparities. The obvious path might seem like being a social worker, maybe a civil rights lawyer.
Right, the direct helping profession.
But what if you're just an incredible salesperson?
Yeah.
Like, you're really good at it, and frankly, giving up that career path would be financially tough.
Yeah.
How do you align your sales skills with that deeper purpose?
Okay. How?
Well, you could volunteer your sales skills on the side, maybe fundraising for a relevant cause. Or, more directly, you could actively seek a sales job selling products or services that directly address those disparities.
Like what?
Maybe selling low-cost internet or telecom systems to underserved areas to bridge the digital divide, or selling educational technology to schools in need, or even selling things like solar panels to increase energy independence and lower costs in poorer communities. Your core work is still sales.
Right.
But now it connects directly to that deeper why. You're using your skills as a powerful vehicle for your purpose, just maybe not in the way people first assume.
That's incredibly powerful. Turning your existing skills towards your purpose. So just like you'll probably have multiple jobs, maybe even multiple careers,
mm-hmm.
you might also discover you have multiple purposes, maybe even at the same time.
Absolutely. Life is complex. The key, then, is to keep asking yourself not just, what do I want to do? But maybe even more importantly, why? Why do I want to do it?
Keep asking why. So what does this all boil down to? It means college isn't just about getting that degree, is it?
Not at all.
It's your chance. Your chance to keep asking yourself those big, sometimes challenging questions about what you want and why, knowing that there are so many people and resources right there dedicated to helping you explore the answer.
And those answers, they might just surprise you.